Press the button.
Done. All right.
Good morning. How are we? I will get straight into it then. Well, I'm going to be reading from the Passion Translation. I'm loving the Passion Translation. If you know me, you know I get stuck for a couple of years in the same different versions of the Bible, and then I'll just move on. But I'm loving the Passion Translation. So the title of my message is Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. This applies to every one of us. If you're married, if you've got a friendship, if you're at work, if you're at school, all of us can apply this message to our life. Don't sweat the small stuff. Now, the great thing is that since I turned 50, and I know I don't look it, but since I turned 50, the messages that I've been preaching are reflective of a journey that I've been going on. And what's so exciting for you is you get to learn from my mistakes for free. Isn't that good? These messages are reflective of the things that I wish, if I could do it again, I would change in my life. And one of those is sweating the small stuff. But you know what's so great about Christ, Jesus Christ, is that he is so good to us. Is that even while we're learning on that journey, he still believes in us. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I've actually given up on myself because I just am such a slow learner. But God has never given up on me. And over the time, I've learned these lessons, as I said, that I hope to just share with you. So especially like the Jareds and the Ambers and the Hannahs and all the young ones here today, the Kirsties here today, if you can get this now, your life will be more enriched and more joyful because you won't have sweated the small stuff. What do you reckon? What about us oldies as well? Those of us that have been married a long time and the little things annoy us. You know what I mean? The toilet seat that stays up. Or the kids that just won't leave home, even though they've left home. Who keep coming around, the small stuff. You can really identify it with me. But, you know, often our strengths are also our greatest weaknesses, aren't they? There's this fine line that God does in his humour. In his humour, he does this thing where he gives us these great strengths, but also they become our weaknesses. One of my strengths is that I see every single detail, but it's also my weakness. As you can imagine, it drives people mad that I do that. And God has used this particular trait to teach me not to sweat the small stuff. And it's been a hard lesson, one I wished I'd learnt very early on in life. And if I had, I would not have hurt those around me, and also I would have been a lot happier. But the good news, as I said, is that we have a Saviour, Jesus Christ. He is the God of the second, third, fourth, 100th, 1 million chances. And he's so special. He's so patient with us because he believes in you and I. And Jesus thinks that I'm pretty special, so special that he died on the cross for me. And he thinks you're pretty special because he just didn't die for me. He died on the cross for you too. So you and I could get set free from those things that we struggle with. So here's some keys I want to share with you. Just a few simple, quick keys that most of you would already know. Firstly, pick your battles. Pick your battles. We've been teasing our daughter Sarah. She's pregnant. I'm so excited. And we've been telling her that we are praying that we hope the baby will not turn out as naughty as she was. So the other day she said to us, I was not naughty, I was cheeky. We said, no, you were naughty. You were really naughty. Helen can testify. She was there from day one. Sarah was naughty. So she would never take no for an answer. She has that strong will. The very thing we love about her. That's her strength. But it also get into a lot of trouble. She was always in trouble. Now, one day when she was quite young, she said to me, Mummy, I'm always in trouble. don't you love me? I know. And my heart sunk, and I thought at that point, I need a new strategy. I can't keep telling her off for everything she does wrong. So I decided at that point, she taught me one of the greatest lessons, and that was I needed to pick my battles. What were the main things that I needed to correct her on? And you know, I still use that strategy today in my workplace. I've got four leaders that assist me oversee a region that I'm responsible for, and it's very stressful. And as such, people and processes start to get on our nerves. We start to lose perspective of the great organisation I work for and the great people that I work for. And I'm constantly saying to my team, don't sweat the small stuff. Pick your battles. Ask yourself this, at the end of the day, does it really matter? We are living in a society that has unrealistic expectations on everything. We want perfect jobs, marriages, friendships, churches, and they just don't exist because we are broken people living in a broken world. And I love this scripture. I love this scripture in Ephesians 4:2. It says, with tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially towards those who try your patience. I told Nige the Lord gave me that scripture for him this year. I said, darling, you're always trying my patience. What I love about the Bible is it teaches us to act in the opposite spirit to what we feel like doing. We need to demonstrate generous love to those who try our patience. You know, if you've been in this church long enough, you will, I'm just telling you now, you just need to demonstrate generous love because I know I would try your patience. We had this funny thing at work recently. We had a strategy day and I was working with my team and we had all the guys in the region and we did the five functions or dysfunctions of a team. And one of them is Paul Lencioni's stuff and it's one of the first ones is building trust. So you have to, first thing you have to do is, one of the exercises we did to build trust was we had to stand up in front of our teammates and tell them something that a strength and a weakness. So I told my team, I said, well, one of my strengths is that I'm very solutions focused. I'm a real problem solver. That's a strength. But I said to them, my weakness is that I can sometimes be a little bit speak before I think. And my boss was sitting there and he just was started ready to shake his head. I was like, you're not supposed to agree with my weaknesses. But I give people an opportunity, and I'm sure you do, to be generous with love because all of us try each other's patience, don't we? And we need to demonstrate generous love to those. And imagine, just imagine for a moment if you and I were kinder to those who try our patience. How much more open to change would they be? And I believe the more we love, the less we care about the small things. They really don't matter in the scheme of things. And again, I have learnt the hard way that always wanting to be right can damage a relationship. And I've had to decide what's more important, the relationship or my opinion. Because at the end of the day, sometimes it's just our opinion. The other thing to note is, as I said, is we need to understand that we're all on a journey. And we can get frustrated with people because they don't behave a certain way. But like me, I'm sure you too are learning. Just like you and I have got a long way to go in certain areas. And in John 4:19, it says, our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. What an incredible scripture. Our love towards others has nothing to do with them. Absolutely nothing to do with other people. Our love towards others is a reflection of our gratitude towards God. Wow. Just let that sink in for a while. Our love towards others is a reflection of our gratitude. We could then say we're ungrateful when we don't love others. I'll move on. Number two, choose to let go of offence quickly. Oh, this is a big one. Oh, this is a huge one. Are you finding, like me, that people seem to be getting offended so easily these days? Is it just me? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, in the Passion Translation, it says, love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offence. I believe that forgiveness is at the heart of Christianity. So much so that Jesus is very firm with us that we must forgive. It's not an option. It's not an extra. It's not like you want pickle with that. It's no. You got to forgive. You have to. Non-negotiable. If we don't forgive, the Bible says that God says, well, I'm not going to be able to forgive you then. Oh my gosh. That's a biggie. But not only that, why does God say that? Because if you and I don't forgive, we get stuck and we become bitter. We get stuck. We can't go forward. We go back. We can go backwards, but we actually get stuck. Easy to forgive? No. The deeper the hurt, the longer the process. But we look to Jesus. If a man without sin can forgive us, how much more can we sinners forgive one another? And the term sin, sinner, just means we've done wrong. And all of us, I think, would agree that at some point in our life we've done something wrong. 1 Peter 2:23 says, I love this. You can tell I'm loving the Passion Translation, can't you? When he, Jesus, was verbally abused, he did not return with an insult. Oh, I've got so far to go. How many times do we just blah when someone attacks us? When he suffered, he would not threaten with retaliation. I don't know about you, but in my mind, I'm always retaliating. What am I going to say? What I'd love to do. No, just me. Jesus faithfully entrusted himself into the hands of God who judges righteously. That's the person I want to be. Don't return, don't abuse back, don't threaten back, but trust God that he will judge righteously. You know, I'm at a stage of my life now where I refuse to hold offence. That's a strong statement, I know, but I just refuse to do it. I absolutely refuse to be offended. And even it may take me days, weeks, or months, depending on the hurt, to process that, I refuse to stay offended. Why? Three reasons. Firstly, because I know that I've offended you. And so how can I hold on to offence when I've also caused hurt? I want you to extend me grace just like I need to extend you grace. That was one and two. And thirdly, because of the trade-off. You and I know that when we hold on to offence, it's like this weed that spreads. It takes over everything. We become consumed by it. We become judgmental. We put ourselves on a higher moral plane than other people. We become cynical. We lose perspective of God's goodness and our joy gets robbed. Why waste such precious energy on all of those things? Why give the person so much power over you? Is it really worth it? I want to grow sweeter and kinder. In order to do that, we have to let go. Life's too short to sweat the small or the big things. No one can make you take offense. You do that. We hold offense or we take offense. On another note, we somehow think that the person who has offended us is the greatest sinner. Yet I've observed my reaction and retaliation can be worse than the original offense. None of us are without sin. We've got to get the log out of our own eyes. How do you and I do that? I think it comes with the recognition of what Christ has done for us. As I said, the older I get, the more opportunities I've had to sin. Just goes with the age. Yet Jesus has been so faithful. He has never deserted me when others have. He's never stopped believing in me, even when I've stopped believing in myself. And he's forgiven me time and time and time again, even when I haven't deserved it. So how then can I choose not to forgive when he's been so good to me? Rather than judge one another or take offense, let's extend grace. Grace. Something none of us deserve, but God pours it out on us. In John 1:16, it says, "And out of his fullness we are fulfilled. And from him we receive grace, heaped upon more grace." God heaps grace, 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 grace upon us. We've often said the term of grace is God's unmerited favor towards us, our undeserved favor from God. And he heaps it upon us, and he heaps it upon us. I've got this awesome idea. Why don't we pay grace forward? Let's pay it forward. If you don't know that term, often there's this thing around called pay it forward. It means if you go into a coffee shop and the person behind you in the queue, the person in front's paid for your coffee. Why don't we pay grace forward? Why don't we just expect that that person may offend us and we're just going to extend grace before they even ask for it or need it? Why don't we live in a place where grace flows from us? Because God's heaped it on over here. So what are we going to do with it? It's not for us to keep, it's for us to give it away. Thirdly, keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Do you know what your main thing is? Do you know what your main thing is? Not many of us do. If I were to ask you today, what's the main thing, what would you respond? Often we don't stop and ask ourselves what that is. You've heard me say many times over the years, we need to look at our life from the end and work back and then work forward. What do I mean? You've got to know where you want to be. What is it you want to achieve? When you look at the end of your life, what is it you want to say that you've achieved? I bet you it'll have nothing to do with the car you drive or the house you live in. I reckon it'll have nothing to, I don't even know if it'll have much to do with your career unless you feel that that's part of your purpose. What will it be for me? My life journey, and you know that I give you plenty of opportunities to forgive me. Plenty of opportunities if you've been in this church for a long time. Plenty of opportunities. But I want to grow kinder and sweeter. If I got that on my tomb, I'd be like, yes. What is it? What do I mean by that? What's your main thing? Well, Jesus knew his main thing. Jesus knew the main thing. It's to die on the cross to reconcile you and I to him. Abraham knew the main thing. He was going to be the father of a promise. Esther knew the main thing. She was to liberate a people under persecution. The Apostle Paul knew the main thing. For the Apostle Paul, it was he wanted to finish the race well. What's your main thing? For me, it's to, as I said, it's to get sweeter and kinder. I want people to say that I'm making their life better, not worse. I want to point people towards Jesus, point people towards Jesus, not away from him. I want to have healthy, loving relationships with family, friends, and church community. I want to keep believing, no matter how old I am, the best is yet to come. I never, ever, ever want to stop laughing. In Galatians 5:23, it says, "The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expression. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit." There's some great main things. But the greatest thing that you and I can do, the main thing is, if you're not sure today, the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, I say this scripture all the time. Let me, Andrea, keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom my faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he's now seated at the right side of God's throne. The main thing is Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we won't sweat the small stuff. The problems, not the offenses, not the hurts, but we keep our eye on Jesus. He is the main thing. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Father God, I just want to pray for every person here today. You have been so good to us. You have believed in us when, oh God, many a time we haven't believed in ourselves. You've kept, God, loving us, forgiving us, extending your grace towards us when we often haven't been loving or gracious to other people. You've demonstrated love time and time again. I pray today, God, if there are people here like me that are on a journey and maybe you've been hurt today, maybe there's been deep hurt. I understand it takes time, but I just want to say today, would you consider letting it go? But what we have to do, if we let something go, we need to replace it with something. Replace it with God's grace. He wants to heap it on you. Replace it with his joy, faith, kindness. What is it today that you need? We've all been hurt, but God has shown us a way. I pray today that you'd be able to forgive and let go. Let it go. I pray today for situations where you're getting irritated by the small things, is don't sweat them. Don't let them take up precious time. Keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus. Father God, is anything here today where you just need to let it go? Someone's offended you. Maybe I've offended you. Why don't we say, I forgive that person today. God, I forgive them. I choose to let it go. I choose, God, to have that replaced. I'm going to give generous love towards that person. And God, I ask that you would continue to heap your grace upon me. You know, maybe today, first time you've been back in church for a long time. Maybe you've never been to church. Maybe you've been to a different type of church and this is like, whoa. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment with me? Every eye closed, every head bowed. The greatest gift you can have is the forgiveness of your God. That your God says, everything you've ever done, I forgive. All you need to do is accept what he has done by dying on the cross so that you could be reconciled back to him. And you've got a God that's for you, that believes in you, that loves you unconditionally. All you have to do is accept what Christ has done on the cross. That's it. Accept today what he has done. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and I'd like everyone in this room to pray that prayer. And at the end of the prayer, I'm going to ask you to do something really courageous. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand so I can see it. And maybe you've been away from God and because of hurt. And, you know, sometimes we even need to feel like we have to forgive God because we feel like he's let us down. Why don't you let that go today and say, God, I miss you. I want to come back into relationship with you. Would you pray this prayer, everyone in the room today? Dear Jesus, today I accept everything you have done for me on the cross. Forgive me for my sin. Today I repent of that sin and I turn away and I turn towards you. Thank you that you love me, you died for me, and you have my best life in your hands. I trust you with my life today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time or you need to come back to Christ, would you raise your hand for me? Just give me a wave. I'm not here to embarrass you, but just give me a wave. Up high, just raise your hand right now. I know this is a bold thing for some people to do. Thank you, sweetheart. Is there anyone else here today? Just raise your hand for me. Thank you. See that hand. Anyone else? Someone else? I think over here the lights are really bright for me. I'll walk over here. Right over here. Is there anyone else? Give me one final moment. Thank you, God. I'm going to pray with you in a moment. We're going to dismiss our service. I kept to the time. I really just, in closing, you can open your eyes. I just want to say, I want you to learn from my mistakes. I want you to learn from my mistakes. Be unoffendable. Be unoffendable. Jesus has got it. Jesus has got this. He's got your best life. It's not worth it, guys. Don't sweat the small stuff. And let's just show our world how happy we are. And I want you to pay forward grace. What do you reckon? Isn't that awesome? Love it. God bless you. Have a great week. And I'd love to pray with those people or anyone else that would like some prayer. Have a great week, guys. See you out in the cafe for some hot chips.